This week, Adobe Database exposes 7.5 million Creative Cloud users. PHP team fixes a nasty site-owning remote execution bug. Trend Micro's antivirus tools will run malware if the file name is something very obvious. And how the country of Georgia was hit by a massive cyber attack. In the expert commentary, we welcome none other than Jason Wood to discuss Fancy Bear targets, sporting, and anti-doping orgs as the 2020 Olympics loom, which I'm glad we're digging into because I had that story and wanted the full picture. So we'll spend some time on that and more on this edition of Hack Naked News.
This is Security Weekly. For security professionals, by security professionals. Broadcasting live from G-Unit Studios in Rhode Island, it's the show that brings you the security news each week. And despite popular belief, we do wear pants. It's Hack Naked News.
Let the team at Black Hills Information Security test your defenses. With over 10 years of experience in penetration testing, red teaming, and threat hunting, the testers at Black Hills will help you find the holes in your security before the bad guys do. The team at Black Hills cares about educating and sharing their knowledge by creating countless blogs, open source tools, and webcasts for you to learn more about the tradecraft of pen testing and red teaming. Visit securityweekly.com/BHIS to join their mailing list and view the latest blogs and webcasts from Black Hills Information Security. Too many alerts and not enough action? It's time to get SaltStack. SaltStack is an intelligent IT automation platform that detects security issues in critical business systems and then actually fixes them. With SaltStack, security and IT teams work together to define custom security policies with certified checks for CIS, DISA STIGs, and more. You can scan systems for millions of compliance checks in minutes. Remediate compliance and vulnerability issues with powerful automation, all in a single platform. Visit securityweekly.com/saltstack to learn more. Welcome, everyone, to Hack Naked News, episode 239 for October 29th, 2019. I am your host, Paul Asadorian. We have exciting news about the Security Weekly webcast program. Of course, we're partnered with ISC Squared as an official CPE provider, so you get one CPE credit per webcast, per Security Weekly webcast, that is. You can visit our website, click the webcast menu, and get the upcoming webcasts with ServiceNow. Kevin O'Brien of Great Horn, which you've heard on a couple of shows in the past week or so, which is really awesome. And, of course, Steve Laubenstein from Core Security. Register for all of them. Again, go to securityweekly.com, select the webcast drop-down menu. You can get the upcoming ones or the on-demand library right from the handy drop-down menu. And this now, the news for this week. An Adobe database has exposed 7.5 million Creative Cloud users discovered on October 19th by data hunter Bob Diachenko, and the security company Comparatech. I'm not sure what a data hunter, it sounds interesting, a data hunter. It must be looking for exposed data leaks on the internet. Which is cool. Not cool if your account was leaked. However, the unsecured database contained email addresses and other information of 7.5 million Adobe Creative Cloud customers, included some of the following data, including the Adobe products used, the subscription status, member IDs, and other subscriber information. Noticeably missing from that list were passwords and or password hashes were not disclosed. However, the researchers say that attackers could pose as Adobe or a related company and trick users into giving up further information, such as your password, for example. Or really, I think the real danger is not so much we're going to steal your Adobe Creative Cloud password, but use that in some kind of targeted phishing attack, as they have all the information about your Adobe Creative Cloud. They know who you are as an email, when your subscription ends, what products you use. More than enough information to create a very targeted phishing campaign. The PHP team fixes nasty site-owning remote execution bug. For the bug to work, however, the website has to be running the Nginx web server with the vulnerable version of PHP. We'll get to that. And PHP FPM, which is the back-end replacement for Fast CGI, which allows it to execute scripts, which is used for things such as WordPress and other types of applications. When a script, when calling a script, the PHP language failed to check that its path was correct. The researcher used this to manipulate a variable within PHP that developers use to configure it. The researcher explained, using this technique, he was able to create a fake PHP value, PHP underscore value, FCGI variable, and then use a chain of carefully chosen config values to get code execution. The team fixed the bug, the PHP team rather, fixed the bug in several point releases of PHP. This is all specific to PHP 7. PHP 7.1 users need to go to 7.1.33, 7.2 they need to go to 7.2.24, and 7.3 should go to 7.3.11. As with all security releases, the PHP team urged users to update to the latest release in the version tree that you are currently in. A major vulnerability is patched in the EU's EIDAS or EIDAS authentication system, I guess I'll say. I'm not from Europe, so I'm just covering this as I read it in the news and have read it in other communications. As a listener wrote in a while back when we covered passwordless authentication, reminding us that the EU and a lot of other countries outside the US have this passwordless statewide authentication system, which comes in handy as, you know, we want to go check in on our son's grades. We need a username and password. We need to go into our healthcare system. That's another password. In a lot of other countries, they are far more advanced than many others in that it is a single authentication mechanism for you to access all of this information. It stands for Electronic Identification, Authentication, and Trust Services. It's a very complex, cryptographically secured electronic system for managing electronic transactions and digital signatures between EU member states, citizens, and businesses. The EU created the EIDAS in 2014 to allow member state government, citizens, and businesses to carry out cross-border electronic transactions that can be verified against official databases in any country, regardless of the origin state of the transaction. So it's even far more reaching than I had previously described. It is an amazing system from everything I've heard thus far. But like all software and systems, it's bound to have vulnerabilities. That's not to say you shouldn't use it or it's a bad system, but it does have vulnerabilities that were in the news this week. The SEC consult researchers found that current versions of the EIDAS node package fail to validate certificates used in the EIDAS operations, allowing attackers to fake the certificate of any other EIDAS citizen or business. To carry out this attack, a threat actor only needs to initiate a malicious connection to an EIDAS node server of any member state and supply forged certificates during the initial authentication process. Fixes are on the way, as are more details about the attack. Check the link in the show notes for more information. Running on Intel, if you want security, disable hyper-threading, says Linux kernel maintainer Greg Crow Hartman. He reckons that Intel and hyper-threading should be disabled for security due to MDS or micro-architectural data sampling bugs. He added that MDS is where one program can read another program's data. It's a bad thing when you're trying to run in a shared environment such as cloud computing, even between browser tabs. You can cross virtual machine boundaries with a lot of these MDS exploits. The fact that your CPUs are hyper-threaded with multiple cores on the same die that share caches. When you share caches, you can detect what the other CPU core was doing. He goes on to say that OpenBSD was right. A year ago, they disabled hyper-threading. There's going to be lots of problems here. They chose a security over performance model at an earlier stage than anyone else. By disabling hyper-threading, that's the only way, they state, you can solve some of these issues. You're slowing down your workloads in effect to improve security. Fancy Bear continues to target sporting and anti-doping organizations. Jason Wood will have more on this story in just a moment. However, today, the Microsoft Threat Intelligence, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, fairly recently, Microsoft Threat Intelligence Center recently tracked significant cyber attacks originating from a group they call strontium, I think I get that right, also known as Fancy Bear or APT-26. Fancy Bear is way easier to say and more fun. Targeting anti-doping authorities and sporting organizations around the world. At least 16 national and international sporting and anti-doping organizations across three continents were targeted in attacks just before reports about new potential action being taken by the World Anti-Doping Agency. Attacks began on September 16th, 2019, while the World Anti-Doping Agency was warning that Russia could face a ban from all major sporting events over, air quotes, discrepancies in a lab database. According to Russian whistleblowers, the Russian Anti-Doping Agency, or RASADA, was enabling systematic doping in athletes after revelations the Russian team was suspended from participating in the 2018 Winter Olympics. Now, results of new investigations could jeopardize Russia's participation in the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. Attack of the Pwns. Trend Micro's antivirus tools will run malware if the file is named cmd.exe. Simple as that. And we've heard about these type of bugs before from our pen tester friends that talk about, you know, sometimes it's just about checking for a file name and impersonating a file still bypasses some software that is still deployed today. A bug hunter that goes by the handle Hyperlinks, John Hyperlinks page, took credit for uncovering CVE-2019-9491, an arbitrary code execution flaw in the security tool. In short, Trend software can be tricked into executing any piece of software under the sun, including malware, when it's scanned, provided the file name is command.exe or regedit.exe. And to quote the article, really. That's really all there is to say about that. I believe they have, in fact, fixed the bug, according to reports. Georgia has been hit by a massive cyber attack. That's the country, not the state, in the U.S. A huge cyber attack has knocked out more than 2,000 websites, as well as the national TV station in the country of Georgia. Court websites containing case materials and personal data have also been attacked. In many cases, website homepages were replaced with an image of their former president and the caption, "I'll be back." The origin of the attack is not yet known. However, we're looking forward to more information on that. We'll take a short break, come back with expert commentary with Jason Wood. Stay tuned. Make sure your team is prepared to fight off the latest cybersecurity threat. IT Pro TV is the resource to keep you and your IT team skills up to date. You can stream IT Pro TV courses live and on demand, so there's no need to send staff to off-site training. Team subscriptions include Pro Portal, so managers have full control over your team's training schedule. Go to itpro.tv/hack-naked and use the code HN30 to try it free for 7 days and receive 30% off your monthly membership. The question is simple. Have any of the systems on my network been compromised? The answer is harder than it should be. Enter AI Hunter. Active Countermeasures has automated and streamlined techniques used by the best pen testers and threat hunters in the industry to create AI Hunter, a network threat hunting solution that does the first pass of a hunt for you to identify systems that are most likely to be compromised and scores the results on a scale from 0 to 100. You can then research those systems in depth with AI Hunter. Focus your valuable time on the systems that need your expertise with AI Hunter. Sign up for a personal demo today at securityweekly.com/ACM. Welcome back to Hack Naked News. We are welcoming back to this show Jason Wood from Paladin Security to talk about the Fancy Bear. I just like saying Fancy Bear because it sounds fancy, I guess.
You know, and I didn't wear my Fancy Bear t-shirt today, right? So I missed out on an opportunity here.
So what's going on, Jason?
So this is kind of interesting. As Paul has already given the high-level overview of what's occurring, there's some potential here for the Russians to have some actions taken against them, again, due to performance-enhancing drugs, doping, things like that, for their athletes. And what this made me think of as I was reading this is in the area of intelligence or espionage, there's an acronym called MICE that describes the reasons why people might be enticed to commit espionage. And that breaks down to money, ideology, compromise, meaning blackmail, or ego. And as I read Microsoft's blog post that they made yesterday about the attacks on the anti-doping organizations, ego stands out kind of prominently to me. Because the Olympics has long been an event for countries to come together. Yes, we have goodwill, and you see examples of that with the athletes on the scene, but it's also an area for countries to compete against each other and get some bragging rights on the world scene.
So was the Russian anti-doping organization covering something up and therefore not attacked in this latest attack, or was it the other way around? Or
so what's going on here, and what it appears is, as in the lead up to the Olympics, the different organizations of the countries who are testing for performance-enhancing drugs, doping effects, submit their data to the, World Anti-Doping Agency, I believe it is.
Yeah, it's like
World WADA Anti-Doping Agency.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to call it WADA because it sounds funny.
WADA.
But they submit that data to WADA, for analysis. That's terrible. Dad joke. So what happened is WADA is analyzing the data submitted by the Russians. And as Paul said, there are some discrepancy in a database that was submitted to them. In fact, one of the officials at WADA said that it appears that data has been deleted from the database. They're noticing some issues here with
Right. So the data, Russian anti-doping organization that's submitting to the World Anti-Doping Organization is basically trying to cover some stuff up.
Correct. And, you know, if you read through history and stuff like that, I mean, well, sports has a history of.
Yeah. And the Russians have had, the article said it,
and
right?
The Russians are there.
Cases before. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all over it. So Microsoft released this blog post yesterday saying that Fancy Bear, a.k.a. APT-28, a.k.a. Strontium, a.k.a. Sofosy, probably a couple of other names out there, has been busy attacking now anti-doping organizations and sporting groups across three different continents since September 16th last year. And that's because it looks like WADA was at that point was about to release a report calling on the Russians to explain the discrepancies.
Right.
Now, they weren't banning them or anything like that. They're saying, we see a problem with your data. We need explanations, or there will be negative impact, such as potential for bans and things like that. Again, when that happened in the 2016 games, what actually happened in 2016 where some athletes were banned due to that, and then 2018, the entire Russian Olympic Committee was banned. Nobody was allowed to compete underneath the Russian flag, which you can imagine enraged a whole lot of folks in Russia. They weren't happy about this at all.
In Mother Russia.
No. The Olympics did say, we'll let the athletes that test clear of these things to compete under a neutral Olympic flag, but that didn't make very many people happy. So they're outraged. National pride is injured. Fancy Bear is alleged to have responded to this actually during the 2018 Olympics with some destructive attacks and releasing confidential information about other athletes, picking up information that was, transmitted to WADA as part of their analysis for whether or not somebody has been doping or something like that. So now as we approach the 2020 Olympics, this is picking back up again. And there are a number of attacks occurring out there. Now, these attacks, according to Microsoft, are not necessarily novel or new. We're just talking about techniques such as password guessing or password spraying, phishing emails, and generally just attacking systems that are connected to the internet. Nothing terribly new or exciting there. The only thing that I thought was interesting is Microsoft was quoted as saying that they had observed open source, I guess known, basically, malware, and custom malware. So they're expending some of their custom malware as part of this activity. There is not much information about what's occurring here, though, beyond what Microsoft says in their post, which is on in the show notes. I've got the link to that. And I actually did some looking to see if we have any response from the Russians about this, and there, there's just nothing has been said yet. So, Russia has responded back to the request for data from WADA, but we don't know what WADA's decision is going to be. And whatever their decision is doesn't mean that bans are necessarily going to take place because that is up to the Olympic Committee. What I thought was interesting, why would an attacker group suddenly become active again at this hint of this report or this request for information coming out? And I think national pride or ego is partly in play here. In 2018, with that ban, I mean, that infuriated a lot of people. And so there was this retaliation that occurred, and this activity could be, again, looked at as retaliation against these organizations that the group feels is wronging them and their country. And, you know, being human, we also like the idea of retribution. But there's also another possibility here that the sponsors of Fancy Bear are sending a little bit of a message to the organizations participating in the Olympics, hosting the Olympics, such as Tokyo, that they are going to be there and cause all kinds of trouble if they are banned again. And so it serves as a little bit of a warning, you know, let them compete or suffer the consequences. One of the things I think is interesting about this is to see how nations are now using cyber attacks pretty regularly as part of their international politics. Mm-hmm. In the past, you would see protests at the UN, economic sanctions, or even threats of military action. Now we have this new element added here, which is we're going to go after you on the electronic front. And it has this nice capability of some sort of deniability. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, it wasn't us. It must have been somebody else. Nonetheless, boy, we didn't like your decision over here. And so it's just a new tool in the arsenal of countries to express their outrage or cause consequences for some decision.
They want Drago to compete in the boxing match. Oh, wait. That was a movie. Never mind.
That was a movie. That was a movie. And even if you are able to prove you're a victim of this attack, or even if you're able to somehow prove and provide evidence that you think that this was the Russians or the Americans or whoever, you know, who's going, there's the willingness of other countries to accept that and respond in kind or accept your responses back at them. So it's all part of how countries are now interacting with one another. And, you know, I think we're going to continue to see how this plays out. And this is yet another example of potentially of countries using attack activity to further their goals, even if that is let us compete in the Olympics.
That was a lot of great information, Jason.
And a lot of weeding.
And that will conclude this episode of Hack Naked News. Jason, thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. We'll see you next time.